Hi, and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. It is so exciting to see everybody in one service. I just feel like when we put our praise together that God is really going to move this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just pray and get right into this. Father, I just thank you that you inhabit the praises of your people. Lord, that we've been getting ready and expecting you to move this morning. So Jesus, we just want to praise you. God, I thank you that we can come to your house and just draw from your power, Lord, to draw from your power with expectation. And we expect you to do a big thing this morning. In the name of Jesus, everybody said, amen. Amen. Come on, let's clap.
Praise His name.
Praise
again I say rejoice in the Lord. And again I say rejoice in the Lord always.
Come on, put your hands together.
Rejoice in the Lord.
You know, while we were in early morning prayer, the Holy Spirit just kept going over and over in my spirit. I don't know what you want your week to be. Remember, this is the first day of the week. I don't know what you want your week to be, but you need to praise like you want it to be. Don't wait for it to happen. Praise like you want it to be. So rejoice in the Lord always. You see, some of you are just a little bit too quiet. Now I know how it is.
Well, Pastor, I'm just very reserved.
Can you turn to someone and say, you're a liar? You know how I know that? If I took you out in a lake and you couldn't swim, and I threw you overboard and rowed away, you're not going to be going, help, help. You're going to, help, somebody help me. Your hands will be moving. Come on, your shout is going to be on. Listen now. Jesus already saved you. You got a reason to shout. You were in darkness, but God brought you out. Come on, praise like you want your week to be. Seed your praise.
Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice, and again I say, oh, that man would praise his name, would praise his name, oh, that man would praise his name, would praise his name, to the ends of the earth. You are Alpha and Omega.
You're the beginning and the end.
You're the beginning and the end.
You're the same yesterday, today, and forever.
You're the same yesterday, today, and forever.
And I praise,
your name.
I praise,
your name.
Your name. You are Alpha and Omega.
You are Alpha and Omega.
You're the beginning and the end.
You're the beginning and the end.
You're the
Jehovah Jireh, go ahead and call him out. If you need a provider, go ahead and just say that. Lord, I need you to show up as my provider in this situation. Lord, I need you to show up as healer. Lord, I need you to show up as my victory. We have that right as children of God, as heirs to the throne. So don't be shy. Come on, we're in the presence of God right now. Go ahead and speak out in faith out loud. What do you need from him this morning?
In the power of
You're here. I got nothing up my sleeve. We don't have any magic wands. But Jesus Christ is in the house. Everything you need, Jesus has available. You and I have access to heaven. You see, as sons and daughters of the Most High God, we're not incapacitated just making it by suffering for glory. We're sons and daughters of God Himself, filled with the Holy Ghost and with power. I'm not weak, I'm strong. And even when I'm struggling, my God gives me the strength to make it through. With God on my side, I cannot fail. You see, I don't know who you're serving, but I know who I'm serving. My God's not poquito, my God is grande. Mucho grande. He is massive. He is humongous. I just love serving Jesus. I was up at 3:03 this morning in my prayer room just seeking Jesus. Had some things on my heart. I think I got an hour's sleep from then. But you know something? I'm not here in my own strength. I don't feel tired. Why? Because when I get in the presence of Jesus, there's fullness of joy. That same Spirit who raised Christ from the dead, He will quicken your mortal body by that same Spirit. You see, God is able to do abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine. You've come to this room this morning. You're in church this morning. Some of you are guests. And we honor you and thank you. And I pray that you have your heart set and God's going to touch your life this week. But some of you have come, you've just come to church, and I feel sorry for you because that's all you're going to get. But I didn't come for church. I came to meet with God. And when you come to meet with Jesus, He says, I'll meet with you. Can you turn to someone and say, I've come to meet with Jesus. Tell somebody else, I've come to meet with Jesus. Tell somebody else, I'm not going to be satisfied till I meet with Jesus. On your way back to your chair, make sure you welcome 3 or 4 folks and let them know, I've come for Jesus today. You have 1 minute left. Don't be a snob. Turn around to the person in your back of you and say, good morning. You look just marvelous. What a great day. Hallelujah.
Morning, His Tabernacle. It's time to head back to your seats and get ready for this morning's announcement.
Want to encourage you to join us for our Next Step classes. They're going to help you grow in your faith and build a firm foundation. We offer these classes all throughout the week. Tuesdays at 7 p.m. at the Horseheads campus, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. at the Horseheads campus, and Thursdays at 6 p.m. both at the Horseheads and Ithaca campus. Find a time that works for you and we'll see you this week.
Are you new here? Do you ever wonder about what your purpose and the place is here in the church? Well, I want to invite you to join us every Sunday morning from 9:30 to 10:30 for Growth Track. Growth Track is a four-week class which will help explain to you who we are and who you are. So, join us next Sunday, 9:30 a.m.
His Tabernacle will be hosting a week of the supernatural. We will have with us evangelist Ted Shuttlesworth Jr. for 3 days of miracles, signs, and wonders. On May 19th, we'll have a morning service at 10 a.m. and an evening service at 6 p.m. Also, on May 20th and May 21st, we will have evening services at 7 p.m. You do not want to miss this week of the supernatural.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. Come on, listen, we got two services combined in one, and you sound like you have one separate service. So how loud can we get this morning? Good morning, His Tabernacle. All right. Woo! Listen, we got a lot happening, but let's get started. We want to welcome all the guests to the house this morning. If you are a first-time guest, we're not going to have you stand up, but if you could just raise your hand. We have some people that want to get a gift in your hands. Terry, we know you are not a guest. Put your hand up if you're a guest. If you did not get a guest packet already, if you could just put your hand up, keep it up. We got a team of people coming around. We got a gift for you in there. And right directly after the service, right to your right, you can't see through the wall, but we do have a hallway. Halfway down, we have a guest reception where we want to get to know you. We got some coffee and refreshments. Who likes coffee in here? Some folks do. Awesome. So we'd love to get to know you and answer any questions you might have. So right after the service, come out there. Also, we want to welcome the live stream. Can we welcome live stream this morning? Thank you so much for joining us. We love you from afar. Wherever you are, you're going to be blessed this morning. So thank you for joining us online. Now, you saw the announcement that this is the week of the supernatural, right? So everybody say tonight at 6 p.m. When? Tonight. We're continuing the week of the supernatural. So this morning, we are going to be blessed by Brother Ted Shuttlesworth Jr. And then also tonight at 6 p.m., same thing. Listen, you want to invite people out. Invite your neighbors. Invite your friends. Invite your coworkers. Invite people that you run into at the gas station, in the supermarket, wherever you are. But you want to invite people. Don't be afraid. Bring them with you tonight for 6 p.m. And then again, tomorrow night. Everybody say tomorrow night. 7 p.m. Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Same time, same place. You guys are funny. I like it. So listen, we're so excited. We're going to see a move of God. When you look around, everybody, you know what? Take a just 2 seconds, turn around and give somebody a high five. You know what's really funny is when you turn around, they're already turning around. I like it, though. It's cool. Okay, a couple more things. Listen, we're going to have our 18th annual bike blessing. Who rides a motorcycle in the house? Yeah? I have a moped. We're in good shape. No, I really don't, but I do want one. I want a pink one. All right, so listen up. For you bikers, Saturday, May 25th, we're going to begin the bike blessing, the 18th annual, right here at the church at 8:30. Registration will begin. It's $10 per person. That does include lunch. There are games. There are vendors, raffles. But we also want to make sure that not only bikers are the ones welcome, so anybody is able to come and participate. And lastly, on your way out, if you're interested, we do have a bottle drive. We have a table full of bottles. We'd like to have you pick up and put some change in. So make sure you pick up a bottle, you know, because they're driving, and put some money in it. Amen? Are you guys excited? Pastor Spencer.
The bottles are baby bottles, and we support the local crisis pregnancy center, which is a great opportunity to save babies. Amen. I believe in saving babies. We are not a political church, but I believe in saving babies. Amen. We are blessed today. I'm just going to take a short time for the offering, mainly because I want to give Brother Ted as much time as he can take. And how many of you have never heard Brother Ted preach? Look at the hands all over. Hang on. Turn to someone and say, buckle in. It is, yes, it is packed and buckled in. Praise the Lord. I'm going to have you open up to Isaiah 55, verse 9. Isaiah 55, and it's going to read verse 11. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return fruitless. Turn to someone and say, I'm believing for fruit. How many of you ever planted a tree before? Did you expect it to die? No. You expected it to live. How many of you ever planted a fruit tree before? And it never produced fruit. And you said, boy, that's just a nice tree. I like it. No, you have fruit trees because you expect to get what it's planted for. When something is planted and it doesn't produce what it's supposed to, there's a problem. Can I hear an amen? But worse than that is one that never plants but expects fruit on a tree. Can you imagine taking someone out to your backyard and saying, I want to show you my apple orchard. And you bring them out back to your house and you've got a big open field. It's 20 acres. And you say, look at my apple orchard. And your friend just looks at you like there's something missing in your brains. And they said, there's nothing there. And you said, well, I intended to plant trees, but I never got around to it. But it is my orchard. How many of you know that it's not an orchard if you got nothing planted? That you can't expect fruit from something that you don't plant. It's amazing, though, in church, many times we have folks that choose not to be tithers. In this house, you're taught to be a tither. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Why do we teach you to tithe? Because we want you blessed. Turn to someone and say, God's trying to get money to you, not from you. Now, what happens is when you and I become tithers, we are planting. And then God said, he will open the windows of heaven and pour forth a blessing you cannot contain. You see, when you tithe, you have the right to go to the tree. Can I hear an amen or oh my? But you can't go to the apple tree if you've never planted a tree. And the Bible goes on to say, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper, but shall prosper, shall increase, shall more. It's always cute to me. People say to me, all the church wants is your money. And it's like, come on now. You know what makes it really cute is that's what you want from your boss. Friday rolls around and no paychecks. And you go to your boss and he says, I don't understand. You know, I worked all week. What happened? And he goes, listen, you donated your time. How many of you are going to stay working there? Probably not. The Bible says that the tithe is holy to the Lord. And you see, when we tithe, we are giving back to God and making a declaration. The Bible says you cannot serve both God and mammon. The word mammon means money. And what happens is when we tithe, we take 10% of our life that we sold to somebody else. I want you to hear that one more time. A tithe is taking 10% of your life that you sold to somebody else, putting it in the offering plate and declaring, God, you are my source. And I want you to know when God is your source, that it will prosper. Your life will prosper. You will have supernatural access. God said, I will bless you. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed out begging for bread. Amen. So tithing, some people have just a real twisted mindset. God's mindset is, I want to bless you, but you got to put a tree in the ground. Amen. I'm going to do my part if you do your part. And the tithe is holy, by shout holy, to the Lord. Do you know what the word holy means? I'm almost done. It means separated. There are certain things that are holy. When I grew up, I've told this story before, but when I grew up as a child, there was one kind of ice cream that was holy in our house. Maple walnut. It is the most nasty kind of ice cream you can get. But it was holy unto my father. My dad said, don't eat that. That's my ice cream. And one day, I came home from school and I wanted ice cream. So I went to the freezer and I pulled out maple walnuts. There's only ice cream in the freezer. Pulled out the maple walnut. I picked out all the walnuts and threw them away. And ate the ice cream. When my dad got home, he got done supper, sat down to eat. He said, hey, who touched my ice cream? And I said, must be Sherry. Always blame your sibling. My dad was mad. He said, that is my ice cream. Don't touch it. Because it was holy to him, separated to him. Remember, the tithe is holy to the Lord. And when you honor God, God will honor you. Amen? I said amen. Amen. If you're a guest in the house, what we do in this place is we actually bring our tithes and offerings to the Lord. Let's all stand to our feet. We also declare the Bible. How many believe the Bible is true? How many believe only parts of it are true? How many believe all of it is true? So if you believe it's true, let's make our declaration to the Lord. Shout it out loud. This is found in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28. If I obey, I'm blessed going in. And I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse. And I'm blessed in my basket. Come on now, the blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. Who are you? Shout, I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bless the Lord with your tithe and your offering this morning. If you're watching my live stream, this is your moment. We want to challenge you, encourage you, strengthen you. Make sure right there, man, this is your home church. This is where you're getting fed. This is where you tithe. So make sure you get right on there and hit give. We love you. Thank you for being part of our family.
His holy name, declaring He is good. Come bless the Lord, draw near to worship Christ the Lord, and bless His name. His declaring his good. Oh, that men would praise him. Oh, that men would praise him.
Rejoice.
Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, again I say, rejoice in the Lord always.
Again I say,
again.
Great day. Hi, crew. How are you? My wife and I are celebrating 29 years of marriage today. Isn't that crazy? I was just a child and she robbed the cradle. It is amazing how quickly the years go by. You got good years, you got some bad years, you got some real terrible years, and then you got phenomenal years. The word is consistency is everything.
Were there bad years? Oh, yeah, the first four, definitely. We have to qualify that.
Just want you to know she's mean to me sometimes. So we've been blessed. We have three beautiful children, two beautiful daughter-in-laws, a tremendous son-in-law, two grandchildren, one in the oven. Antonio, is Corinne pregnant already? Or? Oh, you're expecting. Okay, that's a different. So we've been just blessed as God has blessed our family. And we pray, you know, no marriage is perfect. We all go through challenges in life. But I want you to know something. If two born-again Christians sold out to Jesus will make a determination they're going all the way, I want you to know God will make a way. Amen? Amen. So we just wanted to say thank you for celebrating with us 29 years. Next year, we have gained enough points on our American Express card that we are going to Hawaii. Watch this for free. Listen, if you don't use points, you're crazy. Amen. But right now, we are enormously blessed because there are certain people that are in your life that are just in your life. They come and they go. And then there are people that you've had the phenomenal privilege of watching grow. Brother Teddy was, I believe, where'd you go? There you are. You got short real quick. I believe when we were in Newfield, his mom and dad, he was being homeschooled. I think you were like 12.
Probably. Yeah.
12 years old when he came. And now he's 48 years old.
14.
It's amazing to me how watching him be just a boy being homeschooled at home, watching how over 100 and some odd years of ministry being imparted to him, that now he is an enormous man of God. He's not a good man of God. We are so blessed to have him at His Tabernacle Family Church. Amen. It's true. I want you to know, as your pastor, I don't just bring in speakers. In fact, he'll be the very first speaker we've had for a three-day revival probably in over 3 years. So I don't want you to miss this. I'm not bringing somebody in to preach. I'm bringing somebody in to move us to our next level. This is the year of... You can't go to your next level if you're not positioned. If you're not in the house, you're not positioning. And you can miss what God is doing. I don't know if you realize it or not, but there are many that have missed what God was doing because they were sidetracked by things that didn't matter. I challenge you. We're not bringing him in to preach. We're bringing him in to take this church to the next level. He's a key. He is a key here. Or I wouldn't have him. I like him. But I wouldn't have you if he wasn't going to be the key. He's part of the key to bring this church to the next level, momentum. And so welcome with me, Brother Ted Shuttlesworth, Jr.
Praise the Lord. Yes. Well, that's good for a man, but somebody give Jesus a hand if you love him today. Come on, praise him. Hallelujah. Anybody happy in church this morning? Did you come to receive something from God? Yeah. Well, listen, before you sit down, I got a song in my spirit this morning, if you don't mind. It just says, well, I get joy when I think about what he's done for me. I get joy when I think about what he's done for me. I get joy when I think about what he's done for me. It's what the Lord has done for me. Come on, say that with me. I get joy when I think about what he's done for me. I get joy when I think about what he's done for me. I get joy when I think about what he's done for me. It's what the Lord has done for me. We say this. Oh, joy when I think about it, what he's done for me. I get joy when I think about what he's done for me. I get joy when I think about what he's done for me. What the Lord has done for me. I like to say, oh, you can't tell it like I can, what he's done for me. Oh, you can't tell it like I can, what he's done for me. You can't tell it like I can, what he's done for me. It's what the Lord has done for me. Come on. Oh, get joy when I think about what he's done for me. I get joy when I think about it, what he's done for me. I get joy when I think about what he's done for me. It's what the Lord has done for me. Well, come on, clap your hands one time today. Was there by faith I received clap your hands if you believe it. Yay! Somebody said, I'm happy because of Jesus. Oh, come on, lift those hands all over this house today. And we sing, oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. And we sing, oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, it washes. Well, sounds like you know that song. Come on, lift your voice and sing. Oh, you sound good today. Come on, oh, the blood of Jesus, and we sing. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Yes, it washes. If you need healing in your body this morning, sing it like this. There is healing in the blood of Jesus. Oh, there's healing in the blood. Yeah. Sing it again. There is healing in the blood of Jesus. Precious blood of Jesus, hey, oh, the blood. Yes, it washes white. Cause it is so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him out. Just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Come on, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him. To trust him more. One more time, come on. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, and how I prove him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious. Come on, oh, for grace. Oh, for grace. To trust him, oh, for grace, him, oh, for grace. To trust him, say that again, oh, for grace, oh, for grace. To trust him. If that's your prayer today, clap those hands and give Jesus all the praise. Yay! Hallelujah! I want somebody to declare before you sit down, say, this is my day to receive something supernatural from the Lord. Now just say, I won't leave the same. In Jesus' mighty name. Turn high five, somebody tell them, neither will you. You can be seated. Hallelujah. Praise God. Sounds like you came ready. Woo! That's my beautiful wife, Carolyn Elizabeth Penelope Gertrude Shuttlesworth.
I'm so happy that she's here with me. I'm telling you, I'm just happy to have my family back on the road with me. We went for about 2-3 months where we had so much stuff going on at home, work-related for the ministry, that it was so busy, literally. God's been moving so quickly that we've been running to keep up with the vision. And my wife is such a phenomenal blessing to me, not just as a wife and an anointed mother, godly mother. She's also homeschooling 2 of our children so that we can travel on the road full time together. But now she's also ministering to ladies every single week with Nonstop Mom through her podcast, articles, and live videos. And it's amazing. Just a few short months, we've almost hit 1,000 women that are now every single week pulling on that content. It's amazing. And but not just that, but also just as such an anointed woman, and she stands with me, not behind me, and hopefully not in front of me. Amen. Because it becomes very distracting at that point. But this, but alongside me as God intended it, you know. That's one of the reasons I'm not preaching on this, but, you know, God pulled the rib out of the side of Adam, not out of his foot, not out of his head, out of his side, because we're called to stand side by side and do what God's called us to do. So, man, is it a blessing to have back with me on the road my wonderful wife, Carolyn. Would you welcome her today? So happy. And did I say everything you wanted me to say? Okay, good. No, she's awesome. And I'll tell you, I told my wife not long ago, I said, you know, because we're gone. I would say we're probably gone on the road at least, you know, 275 days a year out of the 365. And I said, man, if I had to leave my family at home every time I left, I couldn't do this. I couldn't do what I do. So God has blessed us and graced us to all be together. And that is a blessing. I got 3 children now, as you know. Madeline, my oldest daughter, is going to be 10, if you can believe that. 10 years old. My daughter, Brooklyn, is 5, and she's going to be 5. That's such a dad thing to say. She is 5. There we go. She is 5. I keep track. And now my youngest son, Teddy, 2 years old. No, he's 3. Sorry. Hold on. Stop. May 1st was the birthday. I'm still getting used to this thing. You know, my son is just like his mom. I see him causing trouble in all the nurseries across America. You know, I go into the nursery to pick him up, and he's, you know, got a fistful of dollars. He's been rolling dice with other babies. I mean, I've never seen a boy like this. I was used to girls. You know, you start off with 2 girls, and you're used to being a girl dad. You know, so everything's very soft, and it's emotional, and everybody's crying over everything, and your living room looks like the beaches of Normandy with naked Barbies everywhere, and, you know, like, it's crazy. You know, you got all these things. You got to be emotional with you got to talk, you know, baby, it's okay. And she's crying and she's crying. And then a boy came. And it was like one of the cast members from that movie 300 came out of my wife's womb. And, you know, he's like, Sparta, he's kicking people down holes. And, you know, I'm not used to somebody just coming in the room and punching you in the stomach for no reason. It's like, that's my chair. I was like, well, hey, I pay the mortgage. You don't have. So we're blessed, you know, with 3 children. And I would, you know, it's just awesome. It's just amazing to see your kids catch the blessing of the Lord. You know, my daughter Madeline got filled with the Holy Ghost at the age of 5. And she was in a kids class. You know, you talk about kids getting blessed. We just had the Uproar Partners night on Friday night, talking about the power of what God's doing through the Upward Conference. You talk about what kids and young people can do for the kingdom. It's amazing. My daughter was in a kids class, children's church, and her cousin, Kaylin, who's like her age, right about the same age, walked over to her in the middle of children's church, led by the Spirit, and laid hands on her. How old was Kaylin at that time? Same age, so just she's a little younger than my daughter. So they were the same age, 5 and 5. She walks across the children's church, lays hands on my daughter. My daughter goes out in the Spirit and starts speaking in tongues in children's church. Power of God hit her. You talk about what kids can do. And so I'm telling you, our kids will see the anointing of God. Amen. Our grandchildren will see the anointing of God. And so I'm so extremely excited about what God's doing and what's going to happen this week. Tonight, today, Monday night, Tuesday night. We're here at 7 p.m. And I'm telling you, tonight at 6 p.m., it's going to be phenomenal. I'm so expectant in my spirit for what God's about to do that I'm leaping, man. I'm leaping inside. And I can't wait even this morning to see what we're going to receive from the Holy Ghost. So very excited. I'm not going to take the time to do it other than, do you have a magazine? Only thing you didn't grab. See, you're fired. We do have a brand new magazine that's available that's out on the product table. I do want you to take one. It's free. Take it with you. It has all kinds of stuff. I'll give you a quick announcement, and maybe I'll talk more about it at the end. Here's an amazing testimony of what God did. I started praying. What was it? Beginning of last year to the spring of last year, Carolyn. I started praying with my wife, and we started to say, God, there's got to be, you know, we know how quickly Jesus is coming. He's coming soon. And I said, there's got to be a more rapid way to reach the world. You're going to have to open more doors. And we can only go so hard, you know, church to church to church. You know, you're going 275, 280 days. You know, you got to have at least a little bit of time to take rest. Jesus did that. And so I said, Lord, you're going to have to open up greater avenues. Well, as soon as we started praying that, a man came to me who owns a television station that covers every island of the Caribbean. And he came to me last February. He said, Brother Ted, the Lord speaks to me. I really feel like you're supposed to come on that station every single week and preach the gospel to 39 million souls across the entire Caribbean. He said, so I want you to put a television program on to come to put it together and send it down. We're going to cover the whole every island with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It wasn't long after that that a man wrote me, and he said, I heard you talking about impacting the world. He said, I just built a television network in India out of Bangalore. And he said, it now covers 40 million homes in the nation of India. He said, the Lord spoke to me. I want you to come on and put your program on here and cover all 40 million homes with the gospel. It wasn't long after that. I'm telling you, God did this. I couldn't have done it. Wasn't long after that, a man called me and said, you've probably had Andre and Jenny here, or just Jenny's been here. Jenny, you know, Jenny, I can never pronounce, Raybert. I always want to say Robert, but that's very French. But Jenny Raybert, her husband Andre, that runs Faith Broadcasting Network, called me. He said, the Lord spoke to me as I was praying, and he told me that you're supposed to come on this network to begin to preach. Well, the network in Africa reaches 50 million homes with the gospel. In the UK, 18.3 million homes. And in the U.S., 11.2 million homes. So by the time the first half of this year comes to an end, let me tell you how God answered my prayer this quickly. We will now be on preaching the gospel in over 120 million homes on four continents of this world by the power of God. Can you shout amen? And I'm telling you, I'm believing for a rapid increase of souls coming into the kingdom. This is the year to see God do what only He can do. Can you shout aloud, amen? Amen. And it's exciting because, see, every one of us play a part in the end time harvest of souls. And I'm very excited. I'm, you know, to think about this, that in 6 months, because we probably won't launch till July, but in 6 months of our ministry, we will reach more people than in the entire history of our ministry combined together. I mean, it's supernatural what God will do. And I'm so pumped up, man. I'm ready to run around this church. I just don't know if I can because we had Taco Bell last night. Anyway, but I'm taking care of the temple. Amen. Let's make sure, if you listen to the podcast, take care of the temple. Amen. But we're doing that. So I'm very excited. And so you can stop at the table. There, all the stuff's in the magazine. You can pick up products. We got books, all kinds of stuff to bless you. But we just finished Worship Summit 2019, which is our annual praise and worship conference, which is held in Margate, Florida at Bishop Rick Thomas's church. And on the Friday night of that week, we just recorded our very first live album, live concert recording. And so there's going to be a live album of praise and worship coming out this year. That's going, man, I'm pumped up. I'm telling you. So just keep your ear to the tracks and we'll give you more information as it's coming. So we're working on post-production right now, but I am excited. And it was great to have the team from His Tabernacle at Worship Summit this year on fire. Do you appreciate this worship team? Would you tell them how much you love them? They're doing an awesome job. Awesome, awesome job. And so anointed. I enjoy it every time that I come back. Everything's better than the last time I was here. So it's awesome to see that kind of increase. How many came with an open heart to receive the word today? Did you? I want you to bow your head and let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, let there be a spirit of wisdom and revelation at work in this room today. I pray, Lord, that you'd open the eyes of our understanding, let them be enlightened, that we might know the hope of your glorious calling today in Jesus' name. Don't let one person leave the church unchanged, but let us leave changed by the revelation of your word and the revelation of your spirit. We thank you for it, and we give you glory, and we give you honor and praise in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody shout aloud, amen. Let me tell you, I'm going to have you turn in the moment to the Gospel of John, but you know, people are hungry for the gospel. Can I just encourage you with this thought? Don't let anybody tell you that this is a world or a group of people on the earth today that's not hungry for the spiritual power of God. They might not be hungry for dead, dry religion, and I can attest to the fact they're not, because religious churches are emptying all over the world. But one thing I can promise you, because I've been all over the world, is that people are hungry for the supernatural power of God. I don't care what age group we're talking about, what bracket, what demographic. Doesn't matter if it's people that are retired, people that are in their 50s, 40s, 30s, all the way down to 11 years old, and as I said, 5 years old. When they see the power of God at work, people's hearts are hungry for the supernatural. And so we are seeking every single day to produce and preach a supernatural gospel. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I don't come to you with the enticing words of men's wisdom, but in the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost, so that your faith will not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Amen. You know, in fact, Paul was probably the most educated man of the New Testament. Sat at the feet of Gamaliel, literally got teaching from one of the greatest teachers in the religion of Judaism in the history, still to this day a legend, Gamaliel. Sat at his feet and received impartation and teaching. He was a genius, Paul. But do you know, probably his most unfruitful meeting he ever had is when he went to Athens and tried to debate philosophically with all of the people that talked about all their different gods. Do you know he didn't have one conversion to Christ when he used intellect to debate? But everywhere else he went, by the power of the Holy Ghost, whole cities came to Jesus and people were healed of sicknesses and diseases. Demons had to leave. And he understood that if we're going to get the work done, it's going to have to be through the power of the Almighty God. You can't Facebook debate somebody into the kingdom of God. You can't have a 17 million paragraph argument that's going to somehow change their heart and bring them into the kingdom. But it is the power of the Holy Ghost that brings people into the kingdom of God. That's why Paul said in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel always produces results. And people are hungry. In fact, we got people even here this morning. Where's Mike and Caitlin at? Where you at? Wave your hand. Drove over 5 hours to be in this morning's service, all the way from Massachusetts. Came in all the way, but you're not in the, but what's the name of your actual town? It's not Fitchburg, but you live in Northborough. What is it? Northborough. I can't even say it with that accent, but I'm telling you, people that would drive 5 hours to come to Sunday morning church, would you give them a hand and welcome them all the way from Crossroads Community Church, Mike and Caitlin LaValle. What a blessing to have them here. I'm telling you, people are hungry all over the world for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And things are going to change for every one of us. Can you say amen? Amen. If you have your Bible, I want you to look with me at the Gospel of John, chapter 1. And I want to read to you the 29th verse of the Gospel of John, chapter 1. And I'm going to talk to you today about why I believe in evolution. And some of you, that might freak you out, and hopefully I just got your attention. But I'm going to show you here an evolution in the Bible. I'm going to show you that one animal changed from what it was into another animal. Now, many people believe that the Gospel of John was written by the same John as the one who wrote Revelation, John on the Isle of Patmos. There is some disagreement, but many people believe it was the same guy. And John, here in the Gospels, I want to show you this. The Bible says in the 29th verse, he's standing there prophesying beforehand. He says, there's a man coming who's mightier than I. He's talking about Jesus. He said, there's a man coming who's mightier than I am. I baptize you with water, but the one who's coming will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Hallelujah. And he stands there prophesying day after day, telling them. He said, when he comes, I won't even be worthy to untie his sandals. That's how the kind of guy that's coming. He's on the way. And all of a sudden, Jesus starts walking towards the Jordan River. And look what John says in the 29th verse. He said, the next day he saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Hallelujah. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Now, the same man on the island of Patmos was banished, and in Revelation chapter 5, I want to read you verses 1 through 5. The Bible says, and this is John speaking, then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals? And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open up the scroll or look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or look into it. And verse 5 says, but then one of the elders said to me, weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and the seven seals. The same man who years before saw the Lamb of God coming now turned around and saw the Lion of God coming. Jesus transformed from a lamb and into a lion. And there was a purpose for him taking on both of those identities. Because see, when it was time to provide a way out or a way of escape for you, he had to be the lamb. In fact, he said, no man can take my life from me. This is what's powerful about Jesus. One of my favorite things, you can't murder the master. You can't kill him. He said, no man can take my life from me. I have the power to lay it down, and I've got the power to take it back up again. See, if Jesus didn't have the power to lay his life down, he wouldn't have had the authority to pick it back up. See, that's why they couldn't take it from him, because he had to retain the power to pick it back up again when he was all done. And they tried to take his life from him. They tried to murder him in the past. You've heard me preach about how they picked up stones to stone him, but they couldn't. They tried to push him off a cliff and murder him, let him fall down into the city, but they couldn't push him off of a cliff. Many times they plotted and planned his assassination, but they couldn't take him out. Man, I'm preaching today, because you can't murder the master. And so Jesus had to become a lamb. And when he came as the Lamb of God, see, here's the powerful thing. The Bible says he was led like a lamb to the slaughter. It's very interesting to me that when they brought Jesus through the final stages of his crucifixion or the redemption story, before they even put him on the cross, they had to bring him in for questioning. They cross-examined him, and he's sitting there in the courtroom, and not because he's being belligerent, but the Bible says that he stayed silent. He didn't say a thing. I'm getting ready to drop this on you. He didn't say a thing. He stood in the courtroom and let them read all the charges and say everything that was false against him and didn't say a thing. The reason he didn't is because he couldn't let any words come out of his mouth. Because when words come out of his mouth, they can't return to him empty and they can't return to him void. When he opens his mouth and begins to speak, things have to change. Things have to turn. See, when they came to get him in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible says he was there with his disciples praying. And an entire troop of soldiers came to get Jesus and take him away. And the Bible says they showed up fully armored with their swords drawn. And it was so ridiculous that the Bible says even Jesus commented and said, "What am I? Some dangerous revolutionary that you come to me with a whole troop of soldiers? I've been preaching in the temple every day. You could have taken me there. Why do you have to come out into the wilderness with a whole group of soldiers with swords drawn to take me?" And he said, "Who are you looking for?" And they said, "We're looking for Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus opened his mouth and said, "I am he." And when he said it, the Bible says every soldier with their weapons in hand got knocked back onto their butt on the ground and got laid out. If you study the word of God when Jesus said that, very interesting is that if you look at the way it says it, look where he talked to them. And they said, "We're looking for Jesus of Nazareth." And he said, "I am he." Look at the words in the New Testament. You know what you'll find? Capital I, capital M, A-M, and then lower he. Because that was added by translators to help you to understand he was referring to himself. But what he really said to the soldiers was, "I am." And the same thing that God told Moses to say to Pharaoh, "Who should I say sent me?" You just tell him, "I am that I am has sent you." See, when Jesus was talking to the soldiers, he was not just affirming that he was the guy they were looking for. He was further revealing his identity to those men that were enemies of his purpose. He said, "I am." You're not, oh my goodness, listen to this. He was saying to them, "You're not looking at a carpenter from Nazareth. I ain't up here in the wilderness making rocking chairs and hammering in crown molding. I am up here praying because you just found the I am in human form. You just found the I am that I am." And he wanted them to know, even though you've got swords, even though you've got spears, shields, and armor, they're not enough to deal with the I am. Because when John saw him in Revelation chapter 1, he said, "I turned around to see who was speaking to me. And I saw a man whose hair was white like wool, as white as snow, whose eyes were a flame of fire. And out of his mouth proceeded a two-edged sword." Jesus didn't need to hold a sword in his hand. He had a sword in his mouth. So that when he revealed who he was, he said, "I am." And when that word came out, none of those trained soldiers could stand in the presence of a word that came out of the mouth of Jesus. And every single one fell to the ground. Because there's more power in his word than there is in an army. Oh my God. I said there's more power in his word than there is in an army. There's more power in his word than there is a government. There's more power in his word than there is in demons and in the devil himself. In fact, at the end of time, if you study prophecy, the Bible says that the devil will be called out onto the battlefield, and though he'll have angels there, and though he'll have his saints return from heaven in glorified bodies on the battlefield, Jesus won't need any of us. He'll keep the angels back, he'll keep us back, and he'll walk out by himself. And the Bible says he will consume all of his enemies with a word from his mouth. Let me tell you that his enemies can't handle his word. The enemies of your life can't handle the mighty word of God that's been spoken over your life. There's a word that's more powerful than cancer is. There's a word more powerful than diabetes is. There's a word more powerful than bankruptcy, than glaucoma, arthritis, cataracts. Is more powerful than every enemy of your soul. I came to preach to you on this Sunday morning and tell you there's no weapon that's for formed against your life that can be allowed to prosper. Get ready for victory to hit your house. Shout yes. And so he had to stay silent because his word was too much. His word was too much. Sat in a courtroom and had to keep his mouth closed. You know why? Because he loved you too much. Loved me too much. He said, if I even say one word, I'll throw this whole thing off. If one word comes out of my mouth, boom. I mean, if it took care of soldiers, a troop of soldiers, some guy sitting behind a desk with a gavel doesn't hold a candle to the word about to come out of his mouth. Woo! Somebody say, his word is too much. His word is too much. Who does the devil think he is? The word is too much. Amen. And the power of that word, he said, I have to keep it in for this purpose. I need this redemption story to unfold. I need the crucifixion to happen. See, they weren't taking his life. He was laying it down. They couldn't take it from him. The soldiers couldn't take it. Assassins couldn't take it. And a judge couldn't take it. And a high priest couldn't take it. Roman soldiers couldn't take it. In fact, they tried. They thought they were going to end up taking his life. And so they crucified him on the cross of Calvary. And there Jesus is hanging, giving up his life. And it's very interesting because as he's literally hanging there, do you realize the Bible says that he could have opened up his mouth and God would have sent 10,000 angels to come and deliver him if he would have just opened his mouth, but he kept it closed. He said, I'm keeping my mouth closed and enduring the shame and suffering of the cross because I love you too much to speak a word and get myself out of a situation that'll set you free. So I'm going to endure the shame. I'm going to endure the pain. I'm going to endure the crucifixion. Could have spoke at any moment and called down fire from heaven, called down angels from heaven, but he stayed there because they weren't taking his life. He was laying it down. And see, if you don't understand how crucifixion actually works. Crucifixion is not a death that killed you because of blood loss. It didn't kill you because of shock to your body. It killed you because of suffocation. They would hang people there until they couldn't hold themselves up to breathe anymore. And their lungs would be compressed by hanging and they couldn't breathe till they'd suffocate. That's why the Bible says if people were taken too long to die, soldiers would come by and break their legs so they couldn't stand themselves up to breathe anymore. So when they came to break Jesus' legs, oh my goodness. See, you need to get this. The Bible says the soldiers were surprised that he was gone already because most people had to have their legs broken so that they could die. But that's because the soldiers were taking their lives, but Jesus was giving his life. Oh my God. And so he's on the cross, but see, there was already a prophecy that had gone out from the Old Testament thousands of years before the Romans even created crucifixion as a punishment. And the Bible prophesies that the Messiah, not one bone in his body would be broken. That was something a prophet said before there ever was crucifixion. He said, when the Messiah comes, they won't break any of his bones. And he's on the cross. And the Bible says he shouted out with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. What did he do? Gave up the ghost. What did he do? Gave it up. They didn't pull it out of him. He gave it out of his mouth. And soldiers came by ready to break the legs of those on the crosses. And they looked up and they said, hold on, I think he's dead already. They said, pierce his side and check. And blood and water flowed out, signifying the man was already dead. And they looked at each other and said, how come he is already, I can't believe he's already gone. They never had to touch his legs just so prophecy could be fulfilled that not one bone in his body would be broken because they didn't take his life. He gave his life. And he shouted out with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. But see, even in a shout, he didn't even have to form words around what he was saying, the final thing that he was releasing. He just shouted And just the voice of Jesus carried so much power that the Bible says when he shouted that last shout and gave up the ghost, the earth began to shake. And many people don't preach this anymore, but the Bible says tombs all around the cross of holy dead men and women that have been gone for years, the tombs opened up. Because when he shouted, life came out of his mouth. Power came out of his mouth. And people that have been dead for 17 years came walking out of the grave, looking around, wondering what in the world, like it was a long nap. They came up feeling groggy, but alive and well. Because when he opened up his mouth to shout, even in his last moments of life, he still had more power in him than death had on the earth. And death couldn't stop the voice that was in the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, the Son of God, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. And he shouted, and they had to get up out of the grave. Somebody shout, he shouted, and death ran backward. And see, he had to give up the ghost. Woo! Jesus, according to the Bible, is the incorruptible seed of the Word. If you've never seen this, write it in your notes. You know how Jesus got here? He got here in the form of a seed. God so loved the world, he gave. And when he left here, he left as a seed, and he gave up the ghost. He came as a seed, he left as a seed. See, the devil's so foolish, he thought he won the whole thing by crucifying Christ. And that's why our Bibles tell us still to this day, if the princes of this world had known what they were doing, they would have never crucified our Lord. You know why? Because the devil was so dumb, he didn't realize he was signing his own death warrant. Because anybody in here do any gardening? Who does any gardening? You grow some vegetable stuff for yourself at your own house? You know what I'm talking about. You work hard to keep weeds out. You work hard to keep stuff out so things can properly grow. And you know as well as I do, if you don't want something to grow, the last thing you do is plant that seed in the ground. Nobody's walking out there with weed seeds and throwing weed seeds into the garden. What we need in this garden is more weeds. I can tell you that right now. No, if you don't want it to grow, you don't plant it. If you don't want it to grow, you don't plant it. If you don't want it to grow, you don't plant it. And the devil was so dumb. He said, I'm going to take Jesus out of this earth. But he wasn't even thinking. He's talking about the seed. And he took the seed. Famous last words of the devil. I've won this battle. He takes the seed. What did he do? Planted him in the ground. What a fool the devil was. Because back then he only had to deal with one Christ. But all these years later, look around this world. And there's hundreds of millions of Christians walking around this earth. Because if you plant a seed, it's going to grow up into a harvest. And the stuff he thought he did to win the war wasn't enough. Because now you're here, and you're here, and you're here. I'm here. Victory is here because we're the harvest of the seed of Jesus Christ. Somebody shout aloud, amen.
Amen.
Somebody shout, I'm here.
I'm here.
And if you're here, that means the devil's in trouble. I said the devil's in trouble. You're not a victim. You carry the power of heaven in your spirit. The devil's checking under his bed at night to make sure you're not there. Amen. Power of the Holy Ghost is in you. And the devil's afraid. He's afraid. I said he's afraid. Afraid of you. He's not just afraid of Jesus. He's afraid of you. I said he's afraid of you. You know why? Because the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you and quickens your mortal body. Which means the same thing that made Jesus a terror to the kingdom of darkness is the same thing that makes you a terror to the kingdom of darkness. And the Bible said in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, the Son of God was made manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. And then the Bible goes on in the 5th chapter to say, as he is, so are we in this world. as he is, not as he was, as he is currently. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There's people, I'm convinced they think they have a baby in a manger in their heart tonight. It's like a baby Jesus living in my heart. You don't got no baby living in your heart. He's not some 12-year-old boy asking questions in the temple living in you. He's not a carpenter in Nazareth living in you. He's not on a cross. In fact, when I see people, they got a necklace on, they got a cross with Jesus on, I say, hey, I got to get you the new version. There's a newer version that came out. He ain't on there anymore. Stop living in the past. Live in the now. He's not on the cross. Thank God for what he did on the cross, but that's over. He's not in a grave today. There's people that serve other gods, other religions. They can go to where their founder's buried. They can look at the bones of the founder of their religion. You can't, because you can't find his bones, because his bones aren't in the ground. His bones got up out of the ground. That's why, like Jesus, he didn't even need a full 3 days to stay dead. He just needed a partial three. He died in the afternoon or evening on the first day, stayed dead the whole second day, and they came to check the grave early before the dawn on the third day. He was already gone. An angel said, why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here. He has risen. Hallelujah. He was going to be dead. He was going to be dead for such a short period of time. He didn't even need to buy his own grave. He just told his disciples, go on tombsbnb.com and just rent me something for the next 3 days. Get me an early checkout because I'm out of here. And death couldn't hold him down, and the nails couldn't keep him pinned, and hell couldn't keep him in. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords, and he's coming again very soon. Somebody stand on your feet and lift your hands to heaven if you believe it. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And he's coming again very soon. I said he's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And he's coming again very soon. Woo! Somebody shout, very soon.
Very soon.
And he went from being the lamb to becoming the lion. Woo! The devil thought he was killing the lamb, but the lamb was laying himself down so that when he stood up, he could be the lion. Hey! You messed up, devil, because you took out the sacrifice, thinking you did, but now the victor is standing up. Fire in his eyes. A roar in his mouth. You don't want to mess with the lion. The lion carries power. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. Every person in this room right now is a member. If you're a Christian, you're a member of one tribe, the tribe of Judah, because Jesus is your elder brother and God is your father. And if he's a part of that tribe, then we're a part of that tribe. The tribe that praises God. The tribe that wins the victory. The tribe that cannot be defeated. The tribe that will not quit. The tribe that's going to run past every enemy of our soul. We are undefeatable. We are uncursable. We're the tribe of Judah. Woo! Somebody shout, that's me.
That's me.
Say it again, that's me. And the Bible said, God gave him a name that was above every other name. Philippians chapter 2. That at that name, every knee must bow. Every tongue must confess. Jesus Christ is Lord. Woo! Every knee must bow. Every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I want you to lift your hands all over this room. I mean, the power of God's here right now to touch you wherever you are. Many of you, you're receiving a power of God to deliver you wherever you are today. I see that delivering anointing going through this room right now. There's people being set free by the power of God. Those of you that are here today, there's people that Jesus Christ is going to change your life forever today. Listen to me. This is so important. With every head bowed and every eye closed, this is so vital. There's people in here today that if Jesus Christ were to come back to this earth today, and it's very possible he could come back today, There's no prophecies that have to be fulfilled for him to come. He could come right now. But there are people in this room that are not ready to see Jesus. He's not just the lamb, he's the lion. But they're not ready to see him. And the devil would love to trick you into staying in a place where you're not free from the attack of the enemy against your life, where you stay in an invisible prison of sin and bondage. But I want you to hear me today. I want you to hear what I'm saying. There's freedom available for every man and every woman today. Don't let the devil trick you into staying in prison behind invisible bars. Be set free today by the power of Jesus Christ and his blood. See, I want you to hear me. If you're in this room and you were to look into your life and say, you know what, if Jesus did come today, I'm not sure that I'd be ready to see him, because there are things in my life that are sinful, holding me back from serving the Almighty God. But I want to know before I leave through those doors that my life is right with God, that if I saw Jesus face to face today when he came back, I could look him in the eye knowing he's my Lord and I'm his child. I don't want to have to turn my eyes away and not be able to look in his face because things in my life are wrong. See, Jesus is not here to condemn you. Jesus is here to forgive you. Jesus is not in heaven ready to throw a lightning bolt at you when you make a mistake. He's calling out to you by his Holy Spirit saying, come home, come home, come home. There was a boy who rebelled against his family, cussed out his father, cussed out his mother, said the most evil things you could ever say to your parents, and left them. He said, forget all this, I'm joining the military and I'm going away to war. I hope I do die in war just to prove them wrong, make them feel the loss of my life. Hated his family, went away to war. This was back around World War II. He came back after the war ended, didn't die in battle, but during the war, he'd found Jesus as the Lord and Savior of his life. He wanted to go home and make things right with his family, but he got on a train. He had sent a letter ahead to his mom and dad. He said, Mom and Dad, I'm coming home to see you. He said, but I can understand if you don't want to see me after all I've done to you. He said, but Mom, if you want to see your son, I'm going to pass through the train station in our hometown. He said, if you want to see me, just be standing out there with a white handkerchief and wave it. I'll be on the train. He said, if you don't want to see me, don't be there, don't wave the handkerchief. I'll stay on the train and just keep on going. But if you want to see me, wave that white handkerchief. He got on the train after buying his ticket, and he started to feel that anxiety in his heart coming to his stop where his home was. And when he got there, the train pulled in. There was other family members meeting people from war. He looked out the train window for his mom, and he saw her there. She wasn't waving a white handkerchief. She had the biggest white sheet from her house that she could find. She was waving the sheet. She didn't want him to miss it. She didn't want him to miss a small handkerchief and somehow not make it home because he didn't see the sign. She got the biggest sheet she could find so he would not miss the sign. Doesn't matter what you've done, son. You're mine. You belong to me. Come home. Come home. Come home to your father and I. And I'm saying that today for people here. You think God doesn't want you because of mistakes you've made in your life. You think that there's no more hope for you, no chance for you because of things you've dealt with in your life. But I want you to hear me. God sent this preacher here to stand on this platform today, not to wave a little white handkerchief, but to wave the biggest white sheet in front of your face and let you hear it's time to come home. It's time to come home. Because he loves you. I said he loves you, cares about you. No sin is worth losing your eternity over. There's no sin worth losing that relationship over. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm telling you, the anointing of God is in this church today. If you're standing in this seat and you know there's something between you and God, has to change today. You have to come home today. You don't want to leave this church the same. We're going to pray a prayer in just a minute, and God's going to make all things new. Sin is sin. It's not levels of sin. All sin will send you to hell. Doesn't matter if you think it's small or you think it's great. It's all forgivable by the blood of Jesus Christ. You are not too far gone. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you say, "Preacher, that's me. I want to know today that my life is right before the Lord. I want to know that I'm ready to see heaven. And when Jesus comes, know that I can look him in the face and know he's my Lord and my Savior." Wherever you are in this church, lift your hand, hold it high if that's you. You want to pray this prayer with me today, lift it and hold it. Don't be ashamed. Jesus is calling you right now. Wherever you might be, don't be ashamed of it. Lift and wave it at me. Let me see who you are. We're going to pray in just a moment. Today's your day. You're never going back into an old way of living. Take a step of faith as they're worshiping. I want you to quickly get out of your seat and come stand with me at God's altar. Come quickly. Come on, come on, come on. Don't wait for somebody else. Come stand with me. Come on. God bless you. Come, come, come. Jesus is calling. You may have prayed this prayer before, but you say, "You know what? I've not been living for the Lord. I've not been doing what I should have been doing." Today's a day of turnaround. I said today's a day of turnaround. God's making all things new. He loves us. Some of you are still standing in your seat, but you feel the tug of your heart. The Holy Spirit's drawing you. Come now. Don't wait for another service. Don't wait for another moment. Jesus is calling you. Jesus is calling you. Take just another moment. I'm telling you, this is the most important moment of any person's life, is when they make a decision. I will stand for Jesus. I will stand for Jesus. Hallelujah. I will stand for Jesus. I just feel it. 20, 30 more seconds. There's people that needed to be at this altar. Every head should be bowed. Every Christian should be praying. God's dealing with people. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Who else? God bless you. Now is your time. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow. Not next year. God's calling you today. This is life or death for many people. As Christians are quietly praying, if you're still in your seat, but you know you need to be here, come to God's altar. If you're not coming to the altar, I don't want anybody else moving around. This is not your opportunity to go to the bathroom or get a head start out the parking lot. This is lives being changed by the power of God. A few more moments. God bless you, ladies. Who else? This is your moment to be saved. Don't reject the call of God that's coming to you. You know you need to be at this altar? Come. God bless you, ladies. Who else? Now is your time. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for every life. I'm just giving you 30 more seconds because I know God's dealing with people. God bless you. Even little children feel the call of God. I don't rush through these moments because they're not moments to be rushed. Jesus is dealing with the hearts of men and women. Thank you, Lord. 10 more seconds. Don't miss this prayer. Don't say, I'll do it another time. Now's your time. Come quickly. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. If you're coming, come quick. We're going to pray. Every head bowed. Those of you at the altar, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I don't call it the sinner's prayer. I call it the prayer of repentance. Because you're not going to be a sinner after this prayer. Don't ever say, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. That's not who you are. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. And old things are dying today and all things becoming new. So I want you to pray this with me boldly, with a loud voice. Don't whisper it. Don't mumble it under your breath. All things are being made new now. Boldly declare it with me. Say this with me. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for sending your son to die for me. I ask you now, forgive me of my sin. Make me new. Give me the power to live for you for the rest of my life until I die, or more likely, until you come to take me home. From this day forward, give me holy desires to live for you, to read your word, to pray, to share this gospel, to be faithful to the house of God. Make me a diligent worker for the kingdom of God. Keep me from all harm and danger. Put a hedge of protection around my life. In the mighty name of Jesus, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Now say this for good measure. Say, devil, I'm done with you. I'm never coming back to the old way of living. Take your hands off my life. You are trespassing on God's property. From this day forward, I belong to Jesus. I belong to Jesus. I belong to Jesus. If you believe it, lift your hands and shout unto the Lord. Somebody give God praise. Come on and give him praise. Hallelujah. 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 Woo. All things are made new. Look right at me. All things are made new. Nothing is going to be the same. These two ladies right here, lift your hands. I tell you this, even every attack of the enemy that stayed from the past, that tried to be like a chain on your back, that pulled you back into old things, hurtful things, that the devil said you'd never get free from, are being freed from you today. And peace that passes all understanding is coming upon you. Everything that bound your life like an addiction is being broken today. You're being set free by the power of God. No chains can hold you. You're a child of the Most High God. Somebody lift your hands with all of us and thank God that this is a new day. This is a new day. This is a new day. In Jesus' mighty name. Buddy, this is a new day. Lord, touch him. From this day, strengthen him by your Spirit. Use him for your glory. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you praise. Let me come right through here. Sister, even depression, anxiety, every wicked thing that tried to touch your mind is being removed from you today. I impart joy like a river, peace like a river, love like an ocean in your soul. From this day forward, joy, joy unspeakable and full of glory comes onto your life. Peace that passes all understanding. People won't even understand why you're so peaceful now, but it's the Holy Spirit that did it for you. No man could have done it. The Spirit of God did it. And your life will never be the same after today. That spirit of heaviness, I lift it off of your shoulders today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. By the power of the Holy Ghost, you'll not be the same. Amen. Amen. Lift your hands. The strength of God. I tell you, your strength will not be stolen from you. But a new strength flows through your body right now. Even your blood receives a touch right now by the power of God. You're not just receiving salvation or forgiveness. You're receiving healing in your body. You are receiving strength from the Lord. You'll run long and strong for the kingdom of God. You'll not be taken out by the enemy. Praise God. It's a new day for you. So don't look back, says the Lord. Don't look back. Nothing behind you is worth looking back to. But look forward and press toward your goal, your high calling in Christ Jesus. For I tell you this, you have a high calling. Don't ever let anybody make you feel like your worth is less than what God said it is. You are worthy of what He's made you to be because He chose you. Hallelujah. So don't let anybody tell you that you're not worthy to be what God made you to be. You are, and you have a great purpose in the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, never doubt it. Never doubt it. Never doubt it. From this day, boldness flows into your spirit. Boldness. I tell you this, you've even been talked to in ways that you should never have been talked to. That what we would call in this generation verbal abuse. But I tell you, that breaks off of you today. Every negative thought process, every negative thing that somebody tried to make you believe you were, I break that bondage off of your mind today. Those thoughts will never haunt you again from this day in Jesus' name. You're a child of the King. You are a king and a priest, the Bible says. You have a high calling, the Bible says. You are royalty by the power of God. In Jesus' name, lift your hands. God's now anointing you. And you're going to be a deliverer in this generation. A deliverer. God's going to use your life. He's going to use your life. I see it even taking place. That girls in your generation are going to come running looking for you. Because of the answer that's on the inside of your spirit. They'll not know why, because you can't understand when you're not a spiritual person the things of the spirit. But God is going to use you in such a mighty way. In such a mighty way. You'll fill chairs with young ladies that need an answer. You'll fill chairs. Put both hands on your belly. The spirit of man is there. Fire of God come upon her today in Jesus' name. Somebody shout, she'll fill chairs. Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' mighty name. Pastor, you want to give some instruction quickly for those that are here?
If this is the very first time you've given your heart to the Lord, or you know, some of you here are normal church folks. What I mean is you're here every week and you have a Bible and you know where we're going, you know how to flow. But if this is the first time you've ever come to the altar, whether it's rededicating your life or new salvation, I'd like you to make your way right over here to Mindy. Mindy has the yellow shirt on. If you make your way right over there, we want to fill out. We want to make sure that we get you a Bible, that you know where you're going. So if this is your very first, or you're rededicating your life, if you'll move right this direction, please. Follow Mindy right over there. Move, move. Everybody can just turn. There we go. This direction. Amen. Follow Mindy right over here. Very good. Excellent. Awesome. Proud of you, young man. Gave your heart to Jesus today? Proud of you. Good to meet you, Sam. Welcome to Jesus.
Let's all lift our hands across this church and begin to thank the Lord. Father, we thank you for every life, for every first-time salvation, for every rededication. We give you praise. We give you thanks today that their lives will not end in tragedy. They will not end in hell, but they will end in heaven, rejoicing around the throne with every one of us as we hear the Lord say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." If you're thankful today, clap your hands and give Jesus praise all over this house. Can we rejoice for just about 30 seconds? Would you sing something? Oh, victory is mine. Come on, clap those hands. I told Satan, oh yeah. Because victory today is, clap your hands and say it, victory is mine. Whoa, victory today is mine, mine, mine. I told Satan, I'll kick your behind. Oh, victory today. Clap those hands and say it, victory is mine. One more time, say victory is mine.
Victory is mine.
Yeah.
Victory today is mine.
I told Satan,
get thee behind.
Victory today is
mine.
Come on, clap your hands and give Jesus praise. Hallelujah. You can be seated quickly. In just a moment, we're going to give you an opportunity to sow a seed into this ministry. God's going to use, hear what God's going to do quickly. God uses the seed, not just to push forward the gospel, what he's doing around the world, but he gives us this system of seed time and harvest so that we can go to another level, so that we can increase and go higher in what he's called us to do. Can you say amen? And so, when we sow a seed into the kingdom of God, as Pastor said earlier, it is a tool that God uses to elevate us and bring blessing into our life. What I'm going to ask you to do in just a moment, there's a green envelope in front of your seat. I want you to take one in your hand. If you don't have one near you, the ushers have one ready. Are they green? You said they're green? They're green. It says seed on it. You've got a green that says seed offering. If you need one, lift your hand. We're going to, in a moment, pray, and God's going to speak to you, give you an instruction as to what he wants you to do. But hear this before you do anything, before you make out an offering or write a check or credit card amount or whatever you're doing. What I want you to hear today is this. When you sow a seed, a few things take place. Number one, you're proving to God, God, I trust you as my provider, not this world. See, in our minds, this almost doesn't even make sense. You say, well, if you want more, you got to save more. But in God's kingdom, if you want more, you have to give. Amen. And God said, when you do, I'm the one looking over my system to make sure it runs the way I created it to run. He said, not only will I give you seed as the sower, but I'm the Lord of the harvest, which means when you release that seed, I will ensure that that harvest comes back to your life. He said, and if the enemy were to try to steal what I've prepared for you to have, I will literally stand up off my throne and rebuke the devourer for your sake. He cannot eat your harvest in the field. God said, I'll take him out myself and ensure your blessing comes back to you. But number two, it attaches your finances with what God's doing around the world. Now that's powerful, because as Paul taught the Corinthians, that when you do that, it's not just that you get a financial harvest back, but then the fruit, catch this, every soul that is saved because of what you sow, every person filled with the Holy Ghost, healed, delivered of drugs, whatever it might be, that fruit in the Spirit is also credited back to your account. So that when you get to heaven, these will be things that
you also did for the kingdom of God. That's why I like the family of God. It's not about superstars, it's about the family. We do this work together. Can you say amen? And so God uses the seeds you sow not just bring you a harvest, but also to let the gospel be established through the earth and you take part in the people coming to Jesus. But then finally, watch this. God takes that seed and makes your flesh submit to the Spirit. Because the flesh, you know, have you ever thought of this? In the Old Testament, it said this, bind your offering to the altar. They had to bind their, you know why? Because their offering was literally an animal. They'd have to walk it into the temple, through the outer court and into the inner court. Think of how many thousands of bulls, goats, and sheep were in there being slaughtered. And when animals hear other animals suffering, they get crazy. And I'm sure they were trying to pull out and run out of the, but you know what they had to do? Bind their offering to the altar so it couldn't get away. Do you know there are always going to be things trying to get your seed to get away from you? There's always going to be something. There's always going to be another bass boat, another F-150, another Disney cruise. There's always going to be something trying to get your seed to get away from you. But the Bible says bind your seed to the altar and don't let it get out of your hand. Because see, if the devil can trick you into letting your seed run away, then your harvest runs away with it. But when you sow a seed by faith, it puts your flesh in a place where you say, flesh, you're not going to run my future. My spirit man's running my future. And somebody say, my future is bright because of the word of God. So as we pray, the Holy Spirit speaks to you. God's going to give you an instruction that will take faith to step out and obey. And that's why you have a harvest coming back. So every head bowed, let's pray. Father, speak to every man and every woman. Tell them exactly what you have them to sow into the kingdom of God today. We thank you, Lord, that as we sow this seed, it is quickly coming back as a harvest into our hand and into our life. We expect overflow and increase in Jesus' mighty name. If you believe it, somebody shout aloud, amen. Begin to do what the Lord tells you to do. If you're writing out a check, please make it payable to His Tab. Can they just write His Tab? T-A-B, like the old 80s soda drink? Tab. His Tab. Give by debit, credit card, cash, checks, gold, silver, platinum, lands, properties, cars, vehicles, used or new, homes, RVs, boats, stocks, bonds. We just don't take disobedient children. Amen. Because that's not an offering. Amen. Somebody said, I got an offering for you. Take him. Caitlin and Mike, I want you to come down. Because I have a word for you before we close this service and go, before we sow this seed. Praise the Lord. I'm so happy they drove 5 hours to be in church this morning. That's dedication to the kingdom. Praise God. I'm so happy you're here. I love you guys. Love you very much. What's up, buddy? Yeah, man. Good one. That first one's easy. This one's tired. Praise God. Which one was it that got healed of the allergies? It's the, how many was it? The ear infections. Yeah. How many? God healed him. He's going to be a mighty man in the kingdom. Won't you both lift your hands? There's a blessing that's coming on your family today. Mike, Caitlin. The power of God is on your house. Your hunger is not there for no reason. But the Bible says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Here's the promise, for they shall be filled. There's a filling coming to your house. God's going to fill you with good things. He's going to fill you up with good things. Hallelujah. Did you both just get back from overseas or did only you go? You both. And where was the place you were in? Guatemala. Yeah. They just went on a missions trip to minister the gospel in Guatemala. Gave up time at work just to go and minister the gospel overseas. And I'm telling you, the hunger. These guys are listening to preaching nonstop, listening to teaching nonstop. I mean, there's a hunger. That's not just because it's random. There's a hunger that's been placed in you by the Holy Ghost because you're getting ready to go higher. Hunger is the first step to increase. But the promise is, blessed are they. So there's a blessing today coming on you, and they shall be filled. There's a filling today coming on you, and your house is going to be filled with good things. You're going to overflow. I came to tell you today the struggle is over in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The struggle is over, and you're going to rejoice through the rest of this year as the blessing of God comes upon your house in Jesus' mighty name. You shall see increase on every side. I call it in from the north and the south. I call it from the east and the west. And I just feel to tell you this. I don't really know anything about your family before you or behind. I don't know anything about your family line. But you will have things in your hand and in your home that your family never had for generations. That where your families used to struggle before you and where they used to have to scrape to get by before you, you will be nothing like that from this day forward. You will not look like previous generations from this day forward. Where they barely made ends meet before, where they had to work three jobs to make ends meet before, where they spent their life in credit card debt in years before, you'll look nothing like that. You'll lend to others and you will not borrow in Jesus' name. You'll not struggle under the weight of debt, credit card debt. Things are being paid cash, cash, cash in Jesus' name. And God's going to put a blessing in your hands. Everything you touch will be blessed. Everything you touch will be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Your children will be blessed. Let me tell you, your children will never struggle with anything. Your children will never have to scrape by. They'll never have to have hand-me-downs. They'll not live like other kids. They'll be head and shoulders above the rest in Jesus' mighty name. They'll always have more than enough. You'll always have more than enough. You'll overflow in every area. You won't have to worry about bills being paid. You'll have so much more left over. You'll pay other people's bills in Jesus' name. Did you hear me, Mike? I said you'll pay other people's bills. You'll pay other people's bills, Caitlin. Hear what I say. You'll be a deliverer for other people. God's going to use you in such a mighty way, and a spirit of generosity comes upon your house and on your life. God's lifting you up to a new level by His power. So I loose it today as a man of God over your life in Jesus' name. Blessed by the power of God, I command you to be blessed from this day. In Jesus' name, I command harvest to come in. The seeds you've sown, faithfulness that you've had time after time after time, from this day, I command harvest to quickly come back to you in Jesus' name. Everything that was an obstacle to your life that held back the blessing of God, I pray today, God blows His breath from heaven and blows everything out of your path. Get ready to run with momentum in the final half of this year. Things are speeding up, Mike. Speeding up. Woo! Glory to God. Caitlin, they're speeding up in Jesus' name. And you'll not be the same. You'll not be the same. You'll not be the same. In Jesus' mighty name, I command you to be blessed by the power of God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name. You shall be blessed. If you believe it with them, lift your hands all over this house. Father, we thank you. We thank you. It's coming quickly into their home. Their children will be blessed. Their house will be blessed. Hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty name. You receive it? Amen. Stand on your feet all over this church. We're going to bring an offering to the Lord. You're going to be dismissed. We'll be back here tonight at 6 o'clock. And then tomorrow and Tuesday, 7 o'clock. How many receive what you came for in Jesus' name? Now tonight I'm going to be ministering to people individually. Bring somebody that needs a miracle and a turnaround in their life. We'll see you tonight at 6. We love you. God bless you. Come on and give. Let's praise the Lord today. Come on.
Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. I chose a day.
victory.